ne sais pas. Que voy a hacer, je ne sais plus. Que voy a hacer, je suis perdu. Mi corazón, mi corazón. Me gusta la moto, me gustas tú. Me gusta correr, me gustas tú.
What's up, guys? Piñata Hour is back. Last week we were out of the internet waves, I guess. And today we have Kim Fittini. We managed to get him back. These guys have been so busy lately. It's like, hey, can you sign right here for me? Not really.
Every day, man.
And also we have Dave Saris here with us.
Thank you.
How you doing, Dave?
Good. I'm very good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. We met at the lobby downstairs, and we were talking about like what you were doing.
I do a lot of things, yes. I do the comedy. I do music also, hip-hop-ish music, you know, mixed with other things.
Yeah, because when I booked you, both of you guys, you know, for today.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is so cool.
And it's just nice because usually when you get, like, two rappers in a room, you know, people start, you know, getting violent and threatening each other. So this is nice. This is nice that we can be so civil.
And guess, for those who don't know who they are, they both are white, so... That's why.
Very.
No way. In case you couldn't tell by the way our voices sound.
Yeah. And just so you guys...
technically, the Nazis do not consider my people white.
Okay, now, and we also have Frank LuPaul. Welcome to Frank LuPaul into the Piñata Hour.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Requesting my services.
Yes, yes. We're going to need it a lot,
yep.
I think.
A lot of servicing.
Yeah.
Not that kind of servicing. I hope not.
No. Well, it's a long show.
Yeah.
We're like quietly sitting
every Wednesday.
Here.
We'll see. Then also we have Kid Infinity. I have Ryan. I have Nathan. Many of you guys that are listening right now, I'm sure who you guys know who they are. This guy's been around for a while. A friend of mine. We go way back.
Like, hell yeah. Some of our very first shows.
Yeah.
Right, I think our first show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, it was our very first show.
Some of the first shows. It's like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to be playing some Frank LuPaul stuff in a few seconds. So I just want to let everybody know that also our record selector, Hugo Madrigal, a.k.a. Locura, left us. He moved up north. So that's why today, if you was like, oh, what's going on? It's like, okay, he left. You know, he left Piñata, so we wish him the best.
Good luck, man.
On his trip, on his quest. So now we got Frank LuPaul in the house. So what's up, Frank? What do you have in mind today? What do you want to do?
You know what? I didn't really prepare. Just like I told you, I caught the bus to work and I got here late. I don't know. I'm just going to kind of go everywhere right now.
Yeah. You know what? Doing the show here in downtown LA is like a mission because when people get here, it's like the parking is one thing and then getting to it and it's like...
Right.
There's always streaming downstairs here, so we're going to go ahead.
Parking was super easy for us, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we got there right when it turned 7 o'clock. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. You can't be anywhere in L.A. between 4 and 7. You can't legally have a car that's not moving.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't know the thing about the loading zone signs, too. Like, yeah, you know what?
What's going on, man?
I already know.
You're right.
Society.
You know what? You know, screw him.
Let me put my hand in his mouth.
Like keep this. That one on the DL.
I just found out about that one.
They paint them yellow. That's what he was going to say. Yeah. They're yellow.
Yes.
opposed to white.
I come here every week and paint them in yellow.
That's the secret.
Right. So we're gonna play some more music right now. We're gonna come back and we're gonna start with you and then we're gonna go with you too. Since like I just found out I found out about Dave that he's doing that. That's so cool. So Frank LuPaul is gonna play some what do you got right now?
I'm gonna play some Ana Tijoux. You'll like it, dude. We had her actually at Mucho Wednesdays.
Right.
A couple times I think.
Are you gonna be spinning out the Pavilion right here in Park MacArthur?
No.
No?
No. That's actually Ricky's going to be there.
Oh, Ricky's
Thursday tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
He'll be there tomorrow.
So he's going to be there and also No Age, right? No Age is playing tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
That's
yeah.
Fun.
Oh, yeah.
I
think
so.
Oh, okay. Wow. I never thought about that. I was like, I'm going to go to that show and I'm going to go to this show, but I never.
Are they playing or is he just doing DJing? I thought.
No, it's playing. That's what I saw so far. So, all right, so go ahead, Frank. He's going to play some music, and we're going to be back in a few minutes.
Si un día de junio del año 77, planeta Mercurio y el año de la serpiente. Signo patente tatuado y en mi frente que en el vientre de mi madre marcaba el paso siguiente. Nacer y llorar sin anestesia en la camilla. Mi padre solo dijo es Ana María. Sí sería el primer llanto que me probaría, que mandó las heridas y dándome la batería. Solía ser entonces como un libro abierto, pero leí la letra pequeña del texto. Como un arquitecto construyendo cada efecto, correcto, incorrecto, se aprende todo al respecto. Saber que algunas personas quieren el daño, subir peldaño toma tiempo, toma año. Con mi peluche mirando lo cotidiano, dibujos transformaban el invierno en gran verano. Papá me regaló bajo mi insistencia un juego que trataba de compartir la solvencia. Pero en el patio hicieron la competencia, fue cuando sentí mi primera impotencia. 1970, 1970, 1970, 1977. No me diga no, que no lo presiento. Todo lo que cambia lo hará diferente en el año que nace la serpiente. 1977. No me diga no, que no lo presiente. Todo lo que cambia lo hará diferente en el año que nace la serpiente. Mi adolescencia fue una etapa bizarra. El cuerpo es batería y la cabeza guitarra. La orquesta narra una tonada quebrada para la mirada de una niña que solo talla espada. Hormona disparada sobre pobladas, información que cambian temporadas, caminas encrucijada. Cada cual en su morada preparaba la carnada, la sagrada diablada de mirada encabronada. Mi fila, la verdad, nunca buscó su silla. Mi búsqueda fue mero proceso de pura fila. Pupila de poeta que marcó nuestra saliva en la cordillera que miraba la salida. La parada militar de paso monótono, colores policromo, los uniformes de poco tono. De tono mi cuestionamiento, la voz sí sonó, ¿no? Mi primera rima que sonó y me enroló. Mi búsqueda no fue para mi cosa de escenario, fue algo necesario y que marcaba ya mi fallo. Así que tú hablas más de lo necesario. Fue cuando entendí que todos quieren ser corsario. 1970, 1970, 1970, 1977. No me diga no, que no lo presiento. Todo lo que cambia lo hará diferente en el año que nació la serpiente. 1977. No me diga no, que no lo presiento. Todo lo que cambia lo hará diferente en el año que nació la serpiente.
Árboles de la barranca, porque no silencio a todos jorobó. Logró imponer el terror a toda la ciudad de New York. El talibán del amor, siempre sin turbante, nace el amor. No le preocupa morir, quiere encontrarse con su Dios. Dale, 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 dale.
Was back with Lee and Frank LaPaul on Sounds. What was that, Frank LaPaul? You just play right now.
Hold on.
It's a good upbeat stuff, man. So we have Keenan Fitty in the house, and we got Dave Cyrus.
Cyrus. Like Miley.
Cyrus. Like
Miley.
No,
Cyrus.
Come on. Now we're gonna talk about her.
Now you're gonna remember it. You'll remember.
Now we're gonna talk about
her.
We're talking about some good hip hop right now.
I actually have more fun talking about bad hip hop though. So
a lot of bad hip hop.
Yeah, we were talking about like how before we started how hip hop is in its disco hair metal stage right now. Basically, I was like, if you're in a hip hop band or you dress in the style of mainstream hip hop right now, I hope you realize someday your kids are going to look through your pictures and be like, oh my God, Dad, you are a friggin' loser. Because here's the thing, they try to.
So don't have kids out there. Anybody who's listening to this, don't have kids.
And if you're strapping, I don't agree with this gentleman at all.
But here's the problem with hip hop. It's like, at the same time, it's you have to be like have this like street cred. You have to be tough. You have to be, you know, have at least the threat of violence. But they dress with like giant diamond earrings and these big blousy white shirts. Like if you put on a belt, you look like Blanche from the Golden Girls.
It's the baby look.
So you want to keep it like Kanye West kind of.
I don't want anything to be anything like Kanye West, no.
Would you be happy if everyone went Odd Future, then?
Because he talks about that, about rappers that, you know, I'm not about the fucking, you know, having the bling on my neck.
Right. On that hand, I agree. But I was saying, like, if it was up to me, all rappers would still dress like Redman. They'd all just they'd wear a 90s. Total of $18 worth
90s.
Of clothing.
And that's dating the 90s, right? 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the 90s.
Right, well, early 90s.
I didn't like the 90s style much. Did you guys like the 90s? I think the 80s was the best.
80s. What about 80s was the attire?
Pretty fly, man. Pretty fly.
What's up, Frank? What?
As far as the 80s hip-hop, you know, the attire, you know, b-boy style.
I mean, I think all it takes is a little bit of distance, though. Like every fashion style, like, you know, a good 15 years away looks good. I mean, anyway, I thought, like, when I lived in the 90s, I remember looking back on the 80s and being like, what the fuck? That was the stupidest shit. Like, look at those stupid glasses they were wearing and stuff. Like, they look fucking idiots, you know? And then, like, fucking 10, 15 years later, I'm like, holy shit, that's so fucking cool. Yeah. You know?
I think we're on a 30-year loop because right now the style is 81. We're 1981 is the closest thing you could find to where way people dress now in terms of like how tight.
I don't know. I kind of feel like the 80s was like last decade.
No,
the
80s man,
revival was last decade.
But like last decade, people were wearing baggy pants.
If you guys want to participate on this Piñata Hour, you can call 1-800-893-9562.
Fashion talk.
We want you guys to call.
Fashion talk.
Yeah, we want
fashion
you guys to talk to
hip hop era.
I mean,
hip hop fashion talk.
It depends but then again, like the last 10 years is still where we kind of are. It's not like things change. It's like when we hit, you know, 2010, everything changed. It's sort of like we're still kind of gradually changing. And I feel like the 90s were like the 60s. And the 2000s were like the 70s, and now we're like in the 80s in terms of like when you look at the way like shoes, like literally just the cut of fashion, like the tightness of shirts and pants, like how high waisted things are, like high tops are, you know, have been back for a while. Like I feel like we're it's finally been long enough that the 80s are respectable again. And what? And about
I'm glad it skipped over the 70s.
Yeah, pretty much. Bell bottoms were like threatening to get big in like the 90s, and it never really happened, which is nice.
You guys seen pictures of Dr. Dre like before he became like into NWA? And did you see his picture? He was doing something else. Like it was a DJ.
No way.
Did you see how he dressed before? It's like MC Hammer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The parachute pants?
Yeah. No way. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Google that shit. Look at it.
That's going to be a home with the group. But
it's going to be your 80s, you know, 80s home.
Right. It was basically like a silver jumpsuit that he had in the photo.
Yeah, well, it's shit that he will go and probably, I guess, have a mate because, it, you know, shit like that. I was like,
if anybody knows the group, Paul, I can't remember. I know it. It's in the tip of my tongue.
Wait.
Who?
Dr. Dre. The group that he was in.
NWA.
No, before NWA.
Oh.
Before NWA.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like all different. He was like New York right there. He was like South, like New York when, you know.
Dre was L.A. He was one of the first people to bring like hip hop out of New York, and right. that, you know, which, you know, I'm from the New York area, so I'm very loyal to the hip hop on that side of the world. But
of course, yeah, everything came from.
But you know, I was in the NWA school, like in like '89, basically.
Dude, I found the website, The Secret History of West Coast Hip Hop.
There we go.
Excellent.
Hey, so we have Piñata right here with Lee. I have Dave Cyrus. Dave.
Yes.
I got you here because I was like watching your videos.
Oh, thank you.
And I want to talk about that too as well.
Yeah, like, let's talk about it.
But when did you jump onto the comedian scene? Like how?
Well, I started doing stand up in high school.
That was in high school. Okay.
When I was in high school, I started doing stand up in Jersey, where I lived in high school.
Right.
And it was sort of just like it's an interesting thing because I was, without exaggerating, I was the most unpopular person in my high school who didn't have some kind of brain disorder. Like, you know, like who wasn't like crippled or, you know, mentally handicapped or some other kind of bipolar thing. And I started doing stand up like when I was a senior, and I was doing like well, and like I was getting like attention, and it was really funny because I would actually see kids from my high school being just like shocked that I was doing this. And I tried to get on my senior variety show, but they said that my material, was too much about drug use. So I couldn't really do a high school show. But, yeah, I started in high school. And then when I went to college, I started running a sketch comedy group as well as doing stand-up there.
Yeah.
And when one of the first sketches I ever did was my Brick Stone character, which I made up. The name is to make fun of Stone Phillips. And I would just ask students fake news questions. And basically just trying to make people look stupid.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah. And that's like the character. And then I didn't do it for a while after college. And then when like I started getting into like doing YouTube videos, I did a few Brick Stones there where I went to Hollywood Boulevard and I would just ask like more like political but like funny fake news questions just to see if you can get someone to pretend they know about something that doesn't exist and just make them look stupid.
I want to picture those videos to everybody out there. It's like when I saw those videos, you see him wearing
a suit,
a suit, you know. If you see him in a suit, you will stop and say, okay, oh shit, I'm on TV. Right? And then he will just come out with these questions. You'll be like,
yeah. Like, first,
what?
I would ask questions like, first I would ask like random people on the street, I would say something like, how do you feel about the Pope's new policy that pulling out is murder? And just kind of see like what kind of reaction, watch the wheels turn. And then the guy's reaction to that was, I think that's a terrible idea. I think we need to get our troops out of Iraq safe and alive. And he wasn't kidding. Like, he really thought that's what I was like, no, I mean, like,
he was a robot. He was a robot right there.
And then what happened was I was watching this video and I saw that when the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, who the guys who go to the funerals of gay people and soldiers with signs saying you're all going to hell, yeah. God hates fags, is their, like, their big mantra. They did a protest at Comic-Con, and a lot of people were counter-protesting. But they were counter-protesting in a very kind of passive way, like with signs and kind of – or, you know, you would see people protesting by just, like, screaming at them, which is exactly what they want. They want to feel like they're these warriors for Christ. And so I found that they were doing a protest near me in L.A. at the Jewish Federation. So I just adopted the Brick Stone character for them, and I just started asking them, like, and I feel it was a better representation of what I did, like, because I started just asking them a lot of questions, just trying to confuse them, but real questions about the nature of homosexuality and what they do and about the Bible and just really, really trying to make them confused and angry, and I succeeded.
Some of them, they're aware, some of them are aware, but some are like, they know something, and that's because it's a really hot topic today.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I think there's someone out there wants to be a president, and he's like, God told me to be a president.
Rick Perry.
him, right?
Texas Governor Rick Perry, I think you're referring to.
He's like, he's bringing God.
That's what he tells people, that God
tells
him.
Well, I mean, he does a lot of stuff about God saying that God told me to do this. God has a calling. God called me to be president. He's the same guy who tried to organize a national day of prayer for the hurricanes. And it's fine and all. It's all well and good if you're religious and you want to pray. But he was instructing people in his state to pray for God to stop these natural disasters, which means God is killing people just to get your attention so you pray more, which he really makes God out to be a dick. Just that he causes these hurricanes. You know, he's saying like, yeah, we should pray to stop the hurricanes. Like, yeah, well, why don't we sacrifice a goat for the deficit then? If that's the way that reality works.
My work.
Imagine you do this. It's like, oh, what? Dude, we're so retarded. We got like internet. We just find out about this.
We know what we should do.
It's just a goat.
We should sacrifice a goat, and then if the economy doesn't get better, keep sacrificing higher and higher up numbers of animals, and then whenever things do get better, we'll know it worked.
I think we're sacrificing right now the economy, and that's what they're doing right now, right?
Everything's being sacrificed.
We're sacrificing. Right? Well, the Republicans just want to sacrifice the sick for the economy. Yeah, they just, you know, they'll be happy as long as you know no one's getting any free health care. Then everything's fine. Actually, no. Technically, we're sacrificing soldiers. If you really want to bring this back to the not funny area, but
no, it's really funny.
Yeah. Yes.
None like you got to go there.
Not like a dead body in a that the media can't film. But anyway, yeah. So just the Brickstone thing with the Westboro Baptist Church. To be honest, what I was really basically doing, I started going around the country, like kind of screwing with them and getting, because they got really frustrated with me, and like people liked it.
Are you gonna be doing something live? You were talking about a stand up, you Kevin.
Well, I'm doing stand up. I have a few shows coming up. The biggest one would be LA's Got Talent on August 11th. I'm doing a show with Rick Shapiro. I know like Sean Carnage is involved. It's a really cool show, and we also on Monday at Sean Carnage's Pear Space, my band Vietnambla is doing a show as well, which is not all funny, but some of it is, and mostly intentional. And but I guess what I was going to say about the Westboro Baptist Church is that like I really think of it as using them as a club to attack everyone else you want to attack, because it's easy to pile on them because they're crazy people and everyone hates them. But I think it's better to be like, you know, if you agree with small parts of what they say, which is a lot of people. A lot of people are like, oh, well, I hate gays, but I don't agree with how they feel about soldiers. It's like, no, screw you, because this is against you too. Because I think you can use like them to sort of hold up and be like, if you agree with anything they're saying, you're the asshole.
Right.
Not just if you agree with everything, because no one agrees with everything they say, because they're fucking psychotic.
Yeah.
Also, two of the daughters want to fuck me.
I guess right now, dude, that's the kind of card they're playing right now. Everybody out there, you know, it's kind of.
Well, the Westboro Baptist Church, they love getting they're attention whores. They love getting attention, and they love getting people mad at them. That's why, like, I don't.
I don't know who that is.
The Westboro Baptist Church is created by a guy named Fred Phelps. Fred Phelps is he's a Calvinist.
Wait, was
Baptist.
That the guys that was going to burn the
yes.
Quran?
Yes. No. They did burn the Quran. Okay. The guy who burned the Quran, he eventually did do it. Pastor Terry Jones, who was burning the Quran because he wanted to send a message that America would never be under Sharia law. And he looks like the guy has like this giant handlebar gray mustache, and he wears like a jean jacket, and he wants to be taken seriously.
Pretty
so
cool.
He did burn the Quran,
he's got fashion.
I'm picturing him right
and
now.
And a dozen people were murdered in retaliation for this. They burned the Quran, and a dozen people at an American embassy were murdered. Not even Americans, just out of retaliation. And that's what he wanted, because he's one of those people who wants to just create a game of brinksmanship and create a holy war. He's one of those people that when they talk about having a war between America and Islam, that's what he wants. He wants it to be against all Islam.
Does this guy have a big following?
I mean, no, not at all. No? He has just like the Westboro Baptist Church, their followers are in the tens. They're like under 100.
So why are people paying attention to him?
Because it's media. Because the media wants to jump on it, and they want
people
to use it
in
as
these
attention.
Days. You know, like communication is so out there. People get to find out shit quicker. So the most outrageous thing that it will get you out of your routine in life, and you hear it.
Yeah.
And right now we're living in an era where a lot of people throw in ideas.
It's so anti.
And there's so many philanthropists. Anybody can become a, what do you call that word? Like philanthropist or whatever.
Philanthropist. But
yeah. And everybody's just winning Nobel Prize, like, like, you know, put in a $0.25 quarter thing and you get your little gum.
I mean, it,
that's how I see it right now.
Kim Kardashian's ass is real.
Oh, yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads. You know,
real.
The news is a money making organization. We're not. We don't have like in a lot of other countries where the news is state sponsored, even though that has a lot of other problems with it. But the news is entirely about making a profit. And if people don't want to know about the war, they're not going to report the war. They're going to report what people are interested in. And that happens to be, you know, something more along the lines of, hey, did you know this senator is sending pictures of his dick across Twitter? Excuse me, congressman?
Yeah.
And that and
that was pretty funny, though. It was really funny. I'm kind of glad they covered that, to be honest with you.
No, I agree.
It was pretty funny.
The thing about, just to get on
like Rupert Murdoch right now, he's on the hot seat.
Rupert Murdoch, thank God.
I saw a TV like that. Like, the British were asking him questions.
He's calm as a clam, dude.
He just fall asleep.
He's untouchable.
He's just posing for the cameras.
Honestly, his son is like, hey, wake up, man.
He has so much money that even the people turning on him and stuff aren't really turning on him. They're winking right before
I know that cat has money. That's no doubt. It's like, fuck it. But
it's the power circle.
That's the new war out there. Forget about going into a country and take over. It's about right now, it's like, These internet, these big ball players doing shit.
That's where the Arab Spring came from. The reason that all these Arab countries are rioting and having all, you know, so many revolts is because for the first time ever, everyone has access to information.
Yeah.
And you can organize things. And you can't just go around with brute squads, you know, like Andre the Giant in Princess Bride and just control everyone with just brute force because everyone can find out about stuff, and it's water. You can't stop it at all anymore, and it's really great because it sort of, you know, homogenizes society that in ways that are positive too.
No, they control water in these days.
It's purified to a degree.
It's purified,
except for Egypt, it's not purified there. You get sick if you drink the water. The Nile.
I'm thinking about those farmers.
You know what they need? They need a little porn.
You're right.
Like, they have porn.
They got porn.
They have. I tell you what. At my company where I was working, this job, they like.
Egypt?
Yeah. Any place that has the internet over in the east, I tell you what. Just because we had a website and an email link, I would get hit from so many random countries in either India or Iran, Kuwait, whatever. They're all looking for sex.
Wow.
On our website that has nothing to do with sex in the slightest. It's just because we had an email link. These people, they must be so, it's new to them. They can't get it directly because they're in an oppressed society where you can't even see their eyes, really.
Yeah, if you've never seen a woman's neck legally, you're
looking for sex. And you'll go to like a random business and say like, you know, hey, I'm looking for sex. Like,
I'm looking for sex.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you look at
You sound like an Indian right now.
That's what I did. I'm looking for sex.
If you look at far right fundamentalist Islam,
you just make me hungry right now. I'm going to eat Indian tonight. You just give me an idea.
All right.
I'm tired of Pollo Loco.
Wait. Were we talking about music on this show?
No, he asked me about the videos. Because about the Westboros.
The Westboros are crazy
and they're right-wing fundamentalists.
Right wings, just like the Muslims.
Who believe that masturbation is wrong.
So, Ryan, did that answer your questions who they are now?
Masturbation actually causes you to lose life force. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, just for a few moments.
I think masturbation means
that you just re-energize it.
I have more. Then I have enough to spare. You know, and you know why, but just real quick, do you know why masturbation is a sin?
No.
Because of the story of Onan. All the idea that masturbation is wrong comes from the biblical story of Onan. Onan had a brother who died.
Damn.
And God told him to have sex with his brother's wife so that she could have kids. And Onan said, okay, and he went to them and said, hey, God says we have to have sex so you can have a kid. And then at the last minute, he pulled out and came on the floor. And God killed him. That story...
Is this in the Torah or the Bible?
I believe the Torah.
Okay.
That story... Well, the Torah's part of the Bible.
I gotta get
Old Testament. Yeah.
The Torah.
That's what they base...
What's that?
That's what they base hatred of pretty much any masturbation. And it's like...
So the rabbis are opposed to masturbation as well, then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they're opposed to masturbation because the rabbi's idea is that you need to have as many kids as you possibly can.
Don't be
right
wasting
now.
That. Yeah.
Right now. You know why that is? It's the same reason homosexuality was outlawed in the Old Testament. it's because when they wrote this book, there were literally like 45 Jews surrounded by 8 million Babylonians. They needed people. They needed people right
they
fucking
needed an
now.
Army. Well, they got.
Are you a Jew?
Very much. Okay,
yes.
Let me take that back. I am technically a Jew.
Why is it every Jew I meet says that?
Well, because I don't eat kosher. I don't.
Yeah,
no, I don't keep.
There's
passive.
A lot of different.
What's wrong with
I don't
eating kosher? I eat
because it's fucking stupid. Because,
no,
because pit,
Hebrew
because,
Nationals are delicious.
Because well, yeah, Hebrew National is beef. I'm talking about the fact not eating shellfish. You have any idea how fucking great shellfish tastes? Mm. You know why we don't eat it? Because a rabbi saw it and said that's disgusting. No one's allowed to eat this. Can we?
And they're chopping off the tips of our penises as well.
That I don't have a problem with. Because, I mean, at the time, people, you know, getting sand in your foreskin was not fun.
No.
But
are you getting sand in your foreskin today?
I'm not. I'm not sand anyway. But
there's a reason why you have that there. If you come to this world, right?
Yeah.
With
well, there's
all the equipment.
There's a
all
big
that equipment, right? And you're like, oh, I'm going to fuck with it. You don't do that. You know that.
There's a big argument
there
about.
Was like, there was some guy out there, like he's like, "Fuck, I'm gonna make you like the best I can. Boom, I'm gonna shoot you down." That's how you came because he knew ahead of time. I guess right?
I got into a good hour long argument with someone about STDs and the benefits of
circumcision. Yeah, you're right. It does make it a lot harder to get an STD.
Yeah. It does, and yeah, but people fight that with a passion. But I looked it up on the internet.
No, it's a fact.
And I found enough to
HIV specifically. HIV,
yeah.
Being circumcised makes you 70% less likely to get HIV. And that's not environmental. That is specifically based on just being circumcised alone. And that's enough of a reason, honestly.
Well, I think
But they say pleasure is lowered. But
yeah.
How would one know?
Yeah,
honestly?
It, you know what? It is lowered,
know.
But you
know
what?
I don't
want to
know.
It feels good enough.
It's working for me.
If I wasn't circumcised, I'd go from 12 seconds to 6? That's not. Who cares?
I don't know. I like pulling on my skin. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
Batwing it.
Yeah.
We wash it 5 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. If you aren't circumcised, then you can perform docking. But that's not worth the difference. Oh, one person knows what docking is. Awesome. It's exactly what it sounds like. You know what? Google it.
You will.
But
everybody,
yeah.
Everybody's listening to the Piñata Tower. Go ahead, Google it. Duck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep this window open so you can hear all the hilarities that ensue.
That's Apple tea.
Yep. Hey, so we're going to go ahead and play some a little bit more music. And we're going to have Kid Infinity. We're going to talk about their side. And also, I want to know about that story that is, like, everybody's know about that Michael Jackson and the 3D and all that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And also, you guys gonna have a teaser out there, right? You're gonna show us a little bit of something you might release later.
Oh, right, yeah, we got a new track that we're working on right now, so we figured we would show off a little bit of it. You know,
yeah,
the current state that it's in right now.
So go ahead and call 1-800-893-9562. I want to thank you, Dave, for coming down. And
thank
stick
you.
Around, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes,
you know, talk
yes.
about stuff. But up next, we're going to have Kid Infinity and Frank LaBall is about to, whatever you're ready, man, do your thing.
Listo.
Let's go.
Vamos todos a aprender a bailar el ritmo de moda. Esto se llama bomb y es muy fácil bailar. Empezaremos por tomar de las manos a nuestra pareja. Ahora, con los pies juntos, vamos a girar nuestro cuerpo hacia el lado izquierdo, chocando con la cadera derecha de nuestra pareja al compás de la música. Así. Uno. Muy bien. Ahora, ese mismo movimiento lo vamos a hacer girando hacia el lado derecho y chocando con la cadera izquierda. Así. Dos. Muy bien. Vamos a hacerlo repetidas veces, llevando el ritmo hasta aprenderlo. Uno. Dos. Uno. Dos. Muy bien. Ahora vamos a aprender un segundo paso. Este es, sin soltar las manos de la pareja, vamos a hacer los mismos movimientos, solo que ahora va a ser chocando con la pierna derecha y luego con la izquierda, alternados, así.
something more. So answer in English, if you can. Where were you born, man?
Huh? Where was I born?
That's right, I said, where were you born?
Hey, are you one of those dudes that do horoscopes, man? Hey, I'm a Cancer with a bad moon rising.
Right here, El Fago, watch my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy used to be on Death Valley days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Downtown DJ, cause I was born in East L.A. Olé!
Hey! solo quiero saber hoy si me quedo o me voy. Hay veces que no puedo más, siento que llega el final, pero quiero saberlo hoy si me quedo o me voy. Decir que sí, 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 yo no paro de sufrir. Un día bien, un día mal, la indecisión me va a matar, pero quiero saberlo hoy si me quedo o me voy. Si me quedo,
arriba y del lado como un perico que se está resbalando más. Un modo de hablar con la nuca hasta atrás y parece que está silbando. Se acercaba hacia mí, eres mi amor, no hay nadie mejor. Bésame, pibe, no puedo esperar. Me gusta terrestre, ven para acá, dame tu calor. Quiero amor, yo quiero aprender lo que sabes hacer. Pero en su planeta, neta, pero qué silueta de bombón, todo redondo, pobre, tiene un olor a sudor de zorrillo muerta, la pesta la boca, tiene como lepra, anda samba, no, no tiene huesos, también es ambidiestra, padece ataques de epilepsia, sin cabello tiene chueco el peroné, qué barbaridad. Además, bebe martinis, ama el rock y usa bikini. Sabe jugar al fútbol, sabe sumar, también multiplicar. Tiene muy ronca la voz, canta como hombre que nadó y se ahogó. También viste toda de piel, le gusta el bluff con el oropel. ¡Ole! Le gusta el flamenco, viaja a Madrid y no compra gas. Tiene un avión, ay, 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 ya lo quisiera el mismo Superman. Ella es Christine Tilín, Lin, Lin, arribó sobre la tierra, buscando el amor que la satisfaciera más que en su propia tierra. ¡Ay! quiero así, me gusta su mirada, ama con fuerza tremenda, me tiene loco por cómo piensa, yo no la cambio por mil, me cocina y me pone mandil, se lava los dientes hasta con pasta, la transformé, es muy bella por dentro, ya sabe francés, también es un ninja, come hamburguesa y sopes, no puedo creer, me conquistó, ya me hizo mandilón, viaje en platillo, no es nada mustia, me da mucho calor, me excita de amor, solo hay un problema, no, me quiere su mamá, hoy en cada siempre. Que mi suegra, vámonos. Hoy en cada siempre. Hoy en cada siempre. Hoy
en... Desde hace tiempo las palabras dan mejor color. Aquí y hoy son los momentos que hacen respirar. Hay ciertas cosas que hay que olvidar, que hay que dejar atrás.
I'm sorry. We were just
we're back attacking Coachella.
Back here, Piñata.
Just two weekends this year.
We got Frank LaPaul to understand. So we're back here now. We're gonna be interviewing K Infinity, and
so you guys probably want to like do the magic. You guys want to do the magic over there?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, good idea.
Yeah, so we were talking while Frank LaPaul was, you know, playing some good music.
Yeah, that was a Neon Walrus with Mil Memorias.
Oh, sounds really nice. Sounds like really ambient lounge.
Yeah. Baseline.
Yeah. If I can do it with my mouth, I think I like the music. But if I can't do it, with, you know, like...
Yeah.
I don't like them.
Guys, I might buzz here for a second. I got to plug this thing in real quick. It's going to go real fast.
Go.
Oh, wow. No, it was painless. It was painless. All right, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt there.
Yeah. It was really fast. You did it quick.
Didn't hurt.
Yeah. Could it be a good doctor?
I just want to say how nice it is to see rappers who are respectable young men.
Indeed.
You're nice kids, and I think it's great.
Thank you very much.
Infinity.
Yeah. So what do we?
So what's up, man? I mean, I know you guys for like so long. We go back to like backyard gigs, probably.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
At Henry's.
Yeah.
And then from there, like you guys play often. We play, you know, a couple of shows together. And now you guys are like,
I feel like we got our start working with you guys. I mean, like we didn't even have a crowd. You know what I mean? Like no one knew who we were, and you just like took us under your arm and like, come with us.
No. See, we we're like, you know, you guys are cool. So it's like, even if you guys like, I see you out there in the scene or different venues, I'd be like,
we'd be blazing.
You know, yeah. I think that's. So, you know,
it brings everyone together.
How long have you guys been together?
We're going on 3 years.
As a band.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a band.
Yeah. We've been dating much longer than that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I see the connection.
Yeah. No, they're really good. Kid and Finney, I've seen you guys a few times.
Thanks, man.
It's really good. Like, I really like any kind of hip-hop that's very different, experimental. Like, that's what we try to do with us, too. And, like, Pizza, yeah. Jeff Geis, Bus Driver, No Can Do. Like,
A-Bit.
People
right,
I like.
Right. Yeah, got to push it forward, man.
I actually worked with Bus Driver's dad for a while.
Oh, no way.
He's a director. And I was doing a sketch comedy with him directing. And Bus Driver was our musical guest. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so great. How'd you get Bus Driver? And he's like, you know my son? I'm like, oh, come on.
Hey, so you guys are you guys playing any shows soon? We just did a desert show that I missed out.
Yeah, we just played the Ace Hotel last weekend. That was a blast.
You guys been playing there quite a few times, huh?
We played there a couple of times, yeah.
I gotta go check that out.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people.
Spot.
Good turnout,
yeah,
I bet.
Yeah, there's always like a bunch of...
That's a really nice hotel,
I mean, it's
too.
Funny, too, because it's like Palm Springs. I don't know. Everyone, you just think of it as being just a bunch of old people, but like there's a totally hip young crowd there that's like...
Something I noticed about Kid Infinity, and it's like... You guys brought out not just music, but you also brought out like this live entertainment.
Right.
People like it connects with your music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's perfect. And that's what I want to talk about. That it's like that 3D show when you guys did it at the Smell right here, this little venue, all ages here in downtown.
Right.
That was one of like, I was like, that was a show. That was a full house. It was a great show.
Thanks.
You guys, like, yeah, the music was nice, tight. And then you got the. What do you call about the big wall right there?
There's different kinds of 3D. I think that people have heard about us, like, but what we do is it's like, well, I don't know how do you describe it. It's not the 3D LED wall that Michael Jackson was using. That a lot
of
people
think. I'll just go ahead and get on this thing here. I told them I kind of wanted to explain.
Now, I read that you guys actually perform. In the suit Michael Jackson is buried in.
Just the gloves. Just the fancy glove. But no, seriously. I guess somehow it's kind of confusing. So here's the whole story. This is how it goes.
Well, just because some people think that like we're kind of like copying Michael Jackson's stuff? Because like people heard that we were working with people that work with Michael
Jackson. I don't know if a lot of people were thinking that, but maybe we're just maybe paranoid. But let's just clarify real quick. I work for a company that designed something for, like, as if anyone really cares that much. I'm going to make this real fast. Okay, so the company I work for designed this wall that was made 3D so Michael Jackson could use 3D during his show. However, he was just using 3D during in between his like songs. So he'd go off stage and they put a 3D movie up. That was it.
So yeah, it wasn't even
it
part of the show.
It wasn't part of the show
while he performed.
So
anyways, I mean when you guys do I mean it's just perfect, you know. Are you guys yeah. gonna keep doing just
we're,
that?
We're trying to keep developing like what do we call a virtual 3D stage where we have instead of just a screen behind us showing visuals, we're actually like making interactive visuals that can come out around us and out over the audience.
You don't need
react to the music.
You don't need the glasses.
No, you have
clear,
to wear glasses.
We pass out these clear polarized glasses. It's not red and blue. It's like really
it's cool,
nice.
Man. You gotta see it.
That's what I'm asking. You need
it's
to
like a holographic
show.
Effect, basically. Like really so cool. we're
now
trying
that's
to.
Show.
It's like you see him. You see Ryan like in the stage. And all of a sudden, you see this thing going. It's like,
whoa.
And it's cool.
Dodging. Yeah.
Basically, when I was, we came up with the idea sort of at work when we were playing video, because my company also does 3D video games. We convert 2D video games to 3D, which is
hot.
Really
that's
cool.
That's hot.
And so I'm someone was like,
3D porn, sorry.
Oh, it's already here.
Oh,
it's already here.
Oh,
you can check it out.
Okay. All technology starts with porn. All technology.
Totally
it's already porn there. First.
So I don't even remember what I was saying. I'm gonna forget it. It's cool. So,
are you shooting stuff in 3D?
Oh, no, you're talking about how you came up with the idea
We create, like, 3D content for it. Basically, Ryan and I just kind of came up with some ideas of what we wanted to have happen during certain songs. Because, you know, we try to make it, like, we were inspired. I know I was inspired when I went to see Daft Punk, the Alive Tour, which was fucking ridiculous and will always be burned into my brain as an amazing show. And it's just because they're such great entertainers, such great engineers and producers. They develop this show that is just amazing, and it's dynamic. It has an arc to it, whereas you know, a lot of
their imagination is
absolutely
just like,
they take you on a journey, and a lot of performers, you know, I don't want to shit on other people's stuff, but like a lot of times it's just they'll throw up whatever they can. It's generic, crazy, random, shocking imagery, or whatever. It might be a picture, it might be oil moving around, or whatever. But that's it, and it goes on and on and on and on, and it's like. This is not only a live musical performance, but it's entertainment. It's something to like pull you into another place.
Well,
take
see,
you
there's
somewhere.
One there's one thing about a band that's been out there, like Daft Punk, right? You know the music, but you can't miss them seeing live.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those few bands that you can't. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You can afford to do that.
Yeah, and you can't explain.
There's
it.
A lot of bands that they do kind of sound like that, you know, and or they do it live and stuff, but it's like. Okay, I passed on, but that, I mean,
you can't,
like that, I can't pass it on.
Yeah,
because
you can't.
It's the music first, and then how hard they work on that.
It's
just itself. It's just like
it's a full course
I give you
meal.
Props. You know what I mean? It's like right. I gotta go see these.
They present like not just the dessert. They present like the appetizers. There's like everything. It's a full course presentation for you, and you walk away just with your mouth and your mind expanded, and it's a great thing.
So you saw Tron.
You know what? I still haven't seen Tron. I did meet Daft Punk after our show at the Smell. I was contacted by Daft Punk like 2 or 3 days later, and we came out, and they came out to my work, and I showed them the stuff, and it was a really cool meeting. They're very cool people, very smart, very, very, very
they know
smart.
What they want. That's what it is. They know what they want. Oh, and so how you guys...
Oh, crap. I wasn't supposed to talk about... All right.
How you guys met, and how did this project took off? Like, from where? You guys met here in L.A., or something you guys already, like...
We've known each other for years. We went to college together.
Okay.
Back in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah. So and then
it's
we
not
moved
as awesome
out.
As like I mean, it's cool. But
then what happened? Then?
Moved out. We were both working in film. I think that's why the 3D thing like comes kind of naturally to us. It's like we both studied film school.
Right.
Visual arts.
And yeah, so we've always and the funny thing is, you know, like. If you know anybody that's kind of watched Kid Infinity like from like early on, like has seen that we've always kind of done like visual stuff like, for example, we have a short film that we did, like, that was one of the first things that we did, like, before we had an album.
That shit, it was
EP.
Awesome. The one in the beach.
Yeah.
You guys, what's up, the guy and the girl?
What is it called?
Uh-oh.
I mean, is it on YouTube or anything?
It's not on YouTube anymore. We took it down.
Okay.
It's a little confusing because for people.
No. It's a great film, but we you know,
that's you, right? That's Wolf Enterprises.
Oh yeah, Wolf Enterprises. That's a whole separate thing.
That's a deep.
That's no, that's not us. That's this evil company that like.
It's just, an evil company.
I don't know who that. Well, we the CEO that we know right. started this company. His name right. is Mr. Anaya, and it's like.
So nothing to do with Dick Wolf.
Nothing to do with Dick Wolf. That's a whole big story.
Right.
But separately, we've always had a visual aspect of what we do. Right. Like we did this short film instead of doing a music video. And actually, I still want to do at some point like a continuation of all these films. Like we wanted to do a whole series. Yeah, we also did
one thing at a time. We really kind of.
So you guys pitched that idea to this guy and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And we did a half hour. What's it called? Christmas special.
Oh yeah, the Christmas special.
Right. We did like a whole Christmas. Yeah, it was called A Very Kid Infinity Christmas. We had all of our friends come on. They would each do a Christmas song, and we had a little story. It was like, you know, we were wearing Christmas sweaters. Yeah. It was very, very pleasant.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so that's always been an aspect of what we do. And so the 3D was just kind of like a natural next step to be able to like.
And especially because no one had done it yet, so we were this is something that I stumbled into. Why the hell not? Let's make something out of it. And we're just treading new. This is all just the beginning of like.
What are you guys doing? You guys are experimenting.
Yeah.
That's what I like. Exactly.
Smell was the proof of concept show, you know? Like, this is the beginning of it. Let's see what we can do with it now. Like, hopefully more.
Yeah.
So when's the next show?
We're trying to set it up. It's expensive to do it. Unfortunately. Yeah. And I don't have any money. I'm broke shit. So.
Yeah, that's always the hold up with this thing. Like, we wish we could do one, like, you know, once a month or something, but it's just like.
It's really unfortunate. Really,
where does the cost come from?
It's the equipment and the technicians that you have to have.
Renting, hiring.
You're talking about, like.
No, we're talking about with.
And this
3D,
is not the.
I mean, with right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, we got to give out all these glasses and those. You know, that alone is a small.
So you don't
own cost.
You don't own all the equipment either.
The company, company I work for does. I couldn't personally. No, I'd have to be really, really wealthy. Right. I mean, in fact, the company has tons of people coming in, artists that are really, really well known, and they're still not buying this stuff because they're too cheap. These artists today are not. In my, like, I don't want to talk too much crap about people, but artists today in the pop world. Want everything given to them on a silver platter, and they're not willing to put in the effort, it seems.
That's because
I think
they're afraid agency, to do something. The talent
new.
Agencies, like, they feed their head.
Yeah.
And they fit, I mean, they give them some money, that's for sure. I mean, those guys, those agencies, they work hard for them. So they feel like they want to, you know, like, have that everywhere they go.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's what sets.
Can afford because
or are willing to take a chance and willing to invest their own money into their show.
Right.
That's what's so cool about Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Again, I'm talking about them just because they funded they bought all of that. Their whole show for for themselves.
A band like Daft Punk, I think, like if they say, hey, I want this.
And they do
like,
it themselves.
And then they like someone throws them a prize. They'd be like, you don't have to worry about money when we come back playing. Right,
but at the same time, it's coming out of their pocketbook. It's a risk.
Will I pack?
They're taking a risk still, though.
No.
this Alive tour was a big thing, but you know that was still there was a gamble there. They designed their own panels too. They had to cut their own panels. They built that pyramid themselves because no one. You know, in the world of entertainment, it's all about money. And like, they're like, no, you can't get pyramids. You know, all we sell are squares.
So what do you have for us right now?
Well, we're shooting a 3D music video. We shot two 3D music videos already, and we're working on them. And this is a track we're probably going to do one of the music videos.
It's
designed for this video. So we're playing with it right now.
It's funny. We actually shot the video first in
before
this case,
we
and then
song.
Wrote the song.
Yeah.
So kind of backwards.
Yeah, it's kind of backwards.
But I think it's going to be
cool. like a soundtrack, what it
started
called?
Off that way, and
like
then
a score kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah. But it's definitely a like pop song style. You know, what I mean? Like instead of verse chorus.
All right, let's hear it, man. Let's hear it.
A whole new direction. So. Tell us what you
think. Oh, and as an important note, this is important. Nathan Huber is on lead vocals on this track, so it's kind of a new direction here.
You were telling me that,
haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
Can you turn it up?
Kitty Fitty. Full volume there.
I'm at full volume.
Nice. That was really nice.
Put a little music in the background for you guys there.
That's really nice. Yeah, leave it like that.
Thanks, man.
That was Kitty Fitty. What's the name of the song? Is that a name or not?
We don't really have a full name yet. I'm not sure. Not sure yet what we're going to call it.
It's still the final mix.
That's a really nice recording, dude. Especially the vocals. It sounds like so, dude, I can hear this shit on the radio and stuff, you know?
Nice. I was picturing myself just flying through space.
Nice.
Yeah, give me that, like right on, oh, man, dude. I want to just jump right now.
Yeah.
Be on the pool digging somewhere.
It. That's what we want.
So the track
like
is still not done, right?
Yeah, we're still like kind of...
I mean, it's very close.
It's close.
Very close. We're basically just mixing and things like that now, so...
Yeah. Well, what it is right now, I tell you, man, I mean, like, I hear a lot of music. It's really good.
Yeah, that was really good. That made me want to do Molly's and make out with a stranger.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, you're like in a place, and you're like, hey, what's up? And like, ah. And with that song in the background, you know, it's like, ah. Oh. And then they look at each other like, oh, you're my sister. And it's like, ah. Oh, it's so dark. I'm sorry.
Who are you? Just feel the music.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so keep fitting in right now. Don't have any show ahead.
No, so, we do. Okay. We're playing at the Standard,
July 31st.
Yeah.
Nice.
Rooftop pool party. Sunday pool
party.
Make
sure you put me on the guest list. Is there a guest list on that place or not really?
I don't think there is. If there is, you're on it.
You're on it, yeah.
Yeah?
But,
don't point a finger on me, man.
You were there last time. It was good times, right?
Yeah, last time it was really cool because I was like going here. Jeremy was there too. And I look at Jeremy. He's wearing a gold chin and shit. Yeah. After the pool party, is a changed man.
That's right.
He took off work for a week, right?
I think we shared a bowl, didn't we, by the pool?
Yeah.
Secretly.
Oh, yeah, man. That was sweet. Thanks,
secretly
man.
Secretly bowled.
You did it today again, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That was you right there at the pool. I remember.
That was me.
That was
them
right there. I didn't know you had a mic back there. That's cool. You can just like chime in when you feel like it.
Whenever.
Nice. Hey, Frank, so I guess we're going to go for like another 5 more minutes of mixing. We want to thank everybody out there for listening to the Piñata Hour. This is Lee, your host, and we had
our friend Dave Cyrus
yeah, right here.
That's what I am.
Yes, you are. You stay there. And then we also had Kid Infinity showing us a little bit of the new things that are coming up.
Let me check out. Let me just plug. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can check out any of my comedy at godhatesbrickstone.com. And you can see my band this Monday at Pear Space, Sean Carnage, and at LA's Got Talent August 11th.
Shout out to a bunch of other shows
that I'm not sure exactly where they're going to be. But, you know, yeah, Ed Galvez is Punk House in Santa Monica on Wednesdays, Three of Clubs on Tuesdays, and Lot One, I'll be starting doing
a
comedy show on Thursday.
Did you ever do the Downtown Comedy Club?
I don't know. Which one is that?
Garrett Morris?
No, I don't know that
right one. Around the corner.
No, I haven't done shows downtown before, actually.
This is the first one right now. The Piñata Hour right now.
Oh, nice. But no, I haven't done that one. But I do love Garrett Morris. I think he's better now than he ever was. That sounds really mean, but I didn't mean it that way.
Three of Clubs. That's where Pacquiao gets his.
Yeah,
gets his
that's
practice
right.
on right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao trains right next to that place. Yeah, we like.
He's got his little store there
too.
You
can see him jogging around.
Room.
Yeah, I do a lot of shows there on Tuesdays.
A real estate there.
He's
right
a hero,
there.
Man.
Pacquiao,
Manny Pacquiao.
Oh yeah, he's in the politics right now too. I was checking out some stuff he's saying, some ideas.
Now, if you think he can box well, you should hear his songs.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of
songs.
He's put out a cover of Sometimes When We Touch.
A one man show.
And I mean, I thought he could knock people out with his fists, but
apparently he could do a vocal.
Yeah, he sings like only a professional fighter who is born could.
All right, guys, we're gonna say goodbye to you guys. We're gonna go right now with Frank. No problem, dude. Anytime, this is your home. No, high five over here. High five over here. And Frank LaPaul is going to go ahead and kill this night. Thank you for listening to the Piñata Hour.
Later. Thank you.
Easy, guys.
Y su físico. Fibra. Vamos a empezar con nuestro primer ejercicio de calentamiento. Imitación de marcha, elevación rodillas al frente y balanceando bien esos brazos. Escuchemos el fondo musical. Seguimos con movimiento de brazos. Ejercicio número 7. Posición inicial firme. Balanceo de brazos a los costados. Segundo tiempo, brazos arriba. Tercer tiempo, brazos costados y firme. Y firmes. Y firmes. ¿Listos? ¿Listos? Bien, bien. Bien, bien. Y empezamos. Vamos al ejercicio número 10. postero inferior para hacer trabajar músculo de la espalda y la cintura. Mucha energía. ¿Listos? ¿Listos? Y empezamos. Y arriba. Al frente. Y arriba. Al frente. Ejercicios números 26, 27 y 28. Vamos a saltar un poco. Posición inicial. Parado sobre un pie. El otro extendido y elevado a un costado. Las manos en la cintura. Y vamos a realizar dos saltitos con cada pie. Pie. Alternando la extensión del otro. ¿Listos? Y empezamos. We'll be right back.